Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and that's on page 903 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It is good to join with you this morning in worship. After about 17 years of being a local church pastor, this position of going into the district office is one that is very challenging and interesting and exciting, but I miss being in the local church. So I was very grateful when Tony called and gave me the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. I have known your pastor for a number of years, back when we were both younger and newer in starting out in ministry. So it's a joy to be here and to share among you. The scripture you have just heard, the story of Mary and Martha, is one that is familiar. It's one that causes us usually to take a few moments and stop and decide, am I Mary or am I Martha? And a lot of sermons have been preached about that specific understanding of this text. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? We sort of pit them one against the other. Have you chosen well or have you chosen poorly? Have you chosen to do what is expected or have you chosen to do what is right? The scripture story is always a challenge when it's one that we know well, because we bring to it the sermons we've already heard. We bring to it those understandings and our own interpretation of what the scripture says. But I want to ask you this morning, even though you may be very familiar with this story, I want to ask you this morning a few questions as we go through this story and as we sort of live in this scripture together for a few moments. And the first question I want to ask you is, what are your priorities? What are your priorities? What are those things that you choose above all the things that are there to be chosen from? What is it that you choose to do or to not do? What do you set as that first priority? Because as we hear these words this morning about Mary and Martha, what Luke tells us is they each had priorities. It was a matter of priority for Martha to go out from the home and to greet Jesus as he came. It was a matter of priority for her to make things ready for his coming to be there among them. There was an expectation of hospitality. And we are typically good at providing that hospitality for those who come to be with us. You probably have a checklist of things you do if company is coming. You probably have a procedure that you go through, and some things are more of a priority than others. Certainly having the home in order and clean and ready is a priority as company comes. And the importance or the newness of the company usually affects the level of cleanliness that we have to have. You know, if it's family, the level is not quite as important as if the boss or someone else is coming over. Or if it's this new friend that you're hoping will get to be a very good friend. We didn't have a lot of company in my house when I was growing up. My father was one of those people that enjoyed people from a distance, and the further away they were, the better he enjoyed them. So we didn't have a lot of company. But when I married, my mother-in-law had a whole procedure. And since you don't know her, I can say this today and not get in too much trouble. But she had a checklist of things. Now, I've never been a list maker, but she had a list, and she would check off, this has been cleaned, and this has been cleaned. And during the time that I was a student at Virginia Wesleyan, I was also living in Arlington. In Fairfax County, I was serving on the Arlington District for my last year of college courses at Virginia Wesleyan. And so over Thanksgiving, I happened to be staying with them, and the rest of the family came down to Chesapeake to be with me. And so I got to be there to help prepare for Thanksgiving. And I have to tell you, by the time we worked through her checklist, I didn't care if anybody came or not. I was too tired to want company. But everything was ready and everything was in place. Much like Martha, the priority was to make sure everything was just so. Mary had priorities as well. Mary's priorities were different from Martha's. Her priority was to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he had to say. And while that sounds very sweet and innocent, and certainly that's what we would choose, as Paul Harvey says, because we know the rest of the story, we would sit and be more concerned about what Jesus had to say than we would be worried about getting the meal ready or the room straight. But Mary chose to do that which was, for her time, inappropriate for women. Sitting at the feet of the rabbi, the teacher, the Messiah, was that place that was left for men and not for women. So she chose to do that which was outside of the bounds of accepted or normal for her day. But it was her priority to be able to hear and to soak up and to understand everything that Jesus had to say in that moment and in that place. As we hear those words of Jesus, as he says, "Martha, Martha," and I can just hear that tone, "Martha, Martha, honey, you just didn't come and sit with me." But, you know, Jesus isn't saying she did anything wrong. He isn't chastising her in a way that causes her to think that she has sinned, because she didn't. She did what was proper. It was an understanding that she had chosen the wrong priority. Sometimes we have that same situation. Do you choose this good thing or do you choose this good thing? And we have to understand and to discern and to know which is best. As Christians, we too have to choose our priorities. We choose what we believe is important. We choose those things that will put us in the place that enables us to live out our faith. And hopefully that means that puts us in the place that God wants us to be as well. It's easy to look at this story and say one was right and one was wrong. But that's not what we hear. And if we go back just a bit, the story that Jesus tells just before this story is the story of the Good Samaritan. What an interesting dynamic. What an interesting juxtaposition we have from one story to the other. The Good Samaritan is a story that calls us out of our comfort zone to do something for someone who is hurt, the one who was laying beside the road. The story of the Good Samaritan causes us to stop and say, you know, if I was the one faced with helping someone who was in a position that made me uncomfortable, would I pass by or would I be helpful? Would I do what I know I should do? The story of the Good Samaritan calls people to come and be in action. The story of Mary and Martha calls us to come and sit and listen. And the importance of the two stories put together is a reminder that as disciples, as Christ followers, we have to know which is the better choice. We have to know when we are to do, and we have to know when we are to listen. We have to be able to have that wisdom. And it comes through prayer and study and discernment. It comes from being faithful and being intentional about our faith life to know which it is we are called to at that moment. It takes us back to understanding what our priorities really are, what they need to be, what they should be. This story always reminds me of something that happened years ago, and I can't remember whether it was 2020 or Dateline or 60 Minutes, but it was one of those news television news shows where they go about doing things that cause you to not only be educated, but to kind of look around and think a little bit. Some of you may have seen this. It has stuck with me for a long, long time. In this particular segment of whichever show it was, they decided to see what they could find out about people by just looking at their checkbook. Now, I know these days, ATMs, banking online, it would make that process a lot different. So that tells you how long ago this happened and how long it has stuck with me. They never met the person or the couple in each case that they were evaluating, that they were doing a profile on. They took instead their checkbook, or in this case, probably their canceled checks, and they went through this checkbook and they put together a profile of age and type of job and area they lived in and preferences for restaurants or types of food, where they shopped, all kinds of things that they could put together without ever meeting someone, just by looking through these canceled checks. They were so close on the age of the person, on the type of job that they held, on where they shopped and where they ate and how often they ate out. They went through a whole litany of understandings about this person. This person was a white-collar worker who ate out most all week long. This person had a corporate job and they traveled a lot and they had this expense account. This was a single person who lived alone in an apartment and didn't do a lot of socializing, and this person did this and that. And they went through person after person, going through and telling more about them than they probably were comfortable thinking someone could find out just from a pile of small pieces of paper. And I remember as we watched the show, my husband and I looked at each other and wondered what they would know, what they would think. Not only what they could tell about us, but what their assumptions would be. What they would know that we would want them to know. What they would know that we would hope they didn't find out. Maybe that we eat out too often, because with both of us working, we ate out a lot. Maybe they would understand why we wrote this check or that check, or how many people we were in debt to. Those things were part of the conversation, but it boiled down and it came around to the point that takes us back to priorities. We began to wonder, as we looked through our expenses, would the people doing this profile, would the folks who were reading about us through these pieces of paper, would they know that we were preachers? Would they know that we were Christians? Would they know that we belonged to a church and that it was important to us and that our life was lived out in the coming and going and the meetings and the teaching and the study and the fellowship that went on in the life of that church? Would they be able to tell? It is certainly a priority for us, but it may not look like that when you put it down on paper. So what about you? If someone went through your check register, if someone went through your expenses for the month, would they know that you were a person of faith? Would they know by how you live and what you have spent your money on that God's kingdom is important to you? Would they know that it was a priority? Or where would they list it in that whole list of priorities that are there to be chosen from? Would they come to understand that, or would they need to meet you and talk to you, and would you have to explain it to them before they would know that you were a Christian? That story that that message continues to follow me around even all these years later. I remember as I do things and as I don't do things, that what I say, what I do, how I live, shows others who will never meet me, will never speak to me, will never know me, what my priorities are. These days, as I travel around for the district, some might think that my priority is to keep the gas station in business as I fill up that tank over and over again. But my hope and prayer is, as they look through that, that they will find those signs, those examples, that I am truly a Christian and that I believe God is the most important priority in my life. Because where we spend our time and our money, what we spend doing not only when we are on, but also when we're vacationing and when we're not working and when we're traveling and we're doing other things, how we live, what we do, what we say, speaks to that level of priority that we place on being a Christian. What would people say if they came and observed you? Some years ago, I was associate pastor at a church. And one of the ladies came in one Monday and she said, "You know, I had the most horrible thing happen over the weekend. I was out at a party socializing with some friends and some folks I'd never met. And as I talked to this one person, I realized that he worked with one of the men that's a member of our church, who teaches Sunday school, who's an important part of the leadership of our church. And as we chatted and we got to know each other, I said, "Well, you know, you work with Mr. So-and-so. He is a member of our congregation. He's such an important part of our church." And this person who worked with Mr. So-and-so stopped and looked and said, "You've got to be kidding. That man is a Christian? I would not have thought he'd ever seen the inside of a church." We can't choose such that our priorities are one for Sunday morning and different for the work world day by day. Our priorities have to be intentional and lived out every moment of our life. Do you choose to live as though you're a closet Christian, hoping no one will find out and enjoying the songs and the scripture and those moments of fellowship, but only when you're here? Or is your priority of faith such that when you're on vacation, you're looking for a place to be in worship? When you're at work, you're treating others with that love and respect. When you make your choices, they know that they're grounded in what God would want you to do. The story of Mary and Martha is an important one because it says, know what the priorities are and choose well in each moment. Don't just do what's right and easy and comfortable, but listen to God, pray to God, discern for yourself what it is you're called to do. Because there are so many who will watch and who will listen and who will also model your priorities. Remember to follow through with those things that are important to you. Over the last couple years, we have heard more and more about those who are in positions of power and wealth, turning to do those things that are sometimes unexpected, but so important. Bill and Melinda Gates have chosen to do that which enables others to live better. Over and over again, their example is being followed by others. Now, I'm going to guess that most of us will never have the billions of dollars that they have to turn over and to do with. But what we choose to do, not only with our money, but with our time in service to others, the way in which we choose to extend our hospitality, is equally important. Remember, Scripture reminds us that of those who have been given much, much will be expected. But much is expected of all of us related to what we have. Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the right thing for this moment. Mary chose the right priority. Mary chose to do that which is good in this moment. But don't forget, the Samaritan chose well also. So be wise, be willing, be faithful. Set your priorities as one who truly believes in the living God. May we pray.